Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Friday, September the 3rd, and we are reading from the Big Book. We're continuing our study of the chapter Into Action. On page 83, the second paragraph, The Spiritual Life is Not a Theory. And we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Jess S., the 12 Traditions, Sue Ann T., and readers of the text, Kathy Jo P., Penny L. C., and Stephanie L. The reference numbers for Thursday, September the 2nd, the 10 a.m. meeting, 17676. And this morning, Friday, September the 3rd, the 7 a.m. meeting, 17685. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Jess S. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Jess.
Good morning. My name is Jess S., compulsive overeater from Wisconsin. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to serve.
Thank you, Jess S. And Sue Ann T. will read the 12 traditions. Welcome, Sue Ann.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue Ann T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Into Action, page 83, the second paragraph, The Spiritual Life is Not a Theory, and we're going to be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And Kathy Jo P., could you read for us, please?
Yes, good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. The spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. Unless one's family expresses a desire to live upon spiritual principles, we think we ought not to urge them. We should not talk incessantly to them about spiritual matters. They will change in time. Our behavior will convince them more than our words. We must remember that 10 or 20 years of drunkenness would make a skeptic out of anyone. So I'm going to start by saying I've heard that in the Big Book, when it was written, at that time, italics were very expensive. So anytime that anything in the Big Book is in italics, it's really important. And what stands out here for me is we have to live it. And the other thing I want to point out is we must remember that 10 or 20 years of drunkenness, and I have that word crossed off and I have behaviors, would make a skeptic out of anyone. And that makes me think about the word dry drunk and how we can be abstinent and we can put down our foods, but if we're still drunk in our behaviors, we are not living in the spiritual way that we're called to in the Big Book. And before bed last night, I talked to a friend that is not in program, and she said to me, "Why do you let your daughter be so overweight?" And I'm reminded, you know, that would be one of the places that is the hardest to live this spiritual program is under my roof. And the part that is probably the hardest is not to shove my program down my family's face, because that just brings me right back flat on my butt into my own drunkenness. And that will make a skeptic out of anyone. So if I start to scream at her or nag her or tell her that I don't think she's eating the right way, I'm back into my sick self. I'm married to an addict. He doesn't really go to meetings. It's the same story there. I don't get to nag, push, and tell him how I think he should live his life. There's a person that I call in the program occasionally, and when I ask him for help in regards to my family, he says there's three things you can do, and that is recover, recover, recover. And again, that is harder when I am faced with my own family's things. And then when I get out there and I start helping other people that are not family, it's much easier, but not always. I mean, when I get on the phone with someone who might want to convince me that she can eat a certain thing occasionally, I need to step away from my own agenda and my own thinking and give it to God and get out of their way so that they can get right with their higher power. And these spiritual principles are hard in a way, but also there's something that we work at every day. And as we start to live it differently, our muscles, I want to say our God muscles, our heart muscles get stronger. It says they will change in time. Our behavior will convince them more than our words. And I've been told several times since I started to do this program how much I've changed. And that's always a blessing to hear. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy Jo P. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared yesterday or the day before, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once, as it does help me to hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Kim A.
Wendy B. Wendy B. Patty D.
Maria J.
Robin P.
Okay, let me tell you who I heard because I missed somebody there. I have Kim A, Wendy B, Patty B, Marie, and Robin P. Who did I miss? Nobody? All right, let's go with this lineup then, please. We're going to start with Kim A, followed by Wendy B. Good morning, Kim. Press star 1 to unmute, please, Kim.
Hey, I was having a whole conversation with myself. This is Kim A from New York City. Yeah, they're not saying you have to live this spiritual life, go figure it out. They're saying you need to live a spiritual life. Here are the directions. This is what we did in order to recover from alcoholism. And if you do this too, you will be able to live a spiritual life, which will give you neutrality around food and will allow you to live a completely different life. You'll be a better version of yourself. So it's important for us to remember, you know, these aren't theories. This isn't, you know, a doctor or a psychiatrist or, you know, like a religious person saying, hey, why don't you try this? This is actual experiences of 100 men and women. Do this, you'll get the same recovery that we got. And I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim A. Wendy B., it's your turn, followed by Patty B. Good morning, Wendy. Press star 1 to unmute, please, Wendy.
Hello, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And so the spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. It's not just head knowledge or a belief system. You know, it's not religious good works or following a formula. You know, it's about having a relationship with a higher power that directs our daily actions. It's a state of surrender to an all-powerful God, you know, who accomplishes his purposes in and through us and transforms our lives. you know, a God who enables us to behave differently. You know, like it says, our behavior will convince them more than our words. And when they see us, you know, responding differently in situations that used to trigger us, you know, to react inappropriately, you know, when they see us applying the principles in all our affairs, you know, the principles of honesty and integrity, you know, of being humble and admitting our wrongs, you know, it says they'll change in time, because when one person in a relationship changes, there's a ripple effect and the relationship changes, and we don't get to control, you know, when or how they will adapt to our changes. You know, we get to just keep doing what God puts on our plate to do each day and leave the results up to God. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. And Patty B., it's your turn, followed by Maria. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning. This is Patty D., recently of North Carolina, but now relocated to Wisconsin. I am a compulsive overeater. I have not shared on the line for a long time because I've been in relapse for a long time, over a year, and have gained back all my weight that I lost in recovery plus 10 pounds. And I started listening to meetings again this week, and I want to thank everyone who makes these meetings possible, because they're such a lifeline. And this reading today is so clear to me, because during my relapse, and one of the things that caused my relapse was my spiritual life was not there. And I was just a snowball rolling down a hill. And another thing that I have realized as I've listened this week, I just want to hug everyone on the line, because you're all such an encouragement and inspiration, because I hear in people's voices how they're so self-aware and how much they know they need God's help, and how much they want his help, and they want to work on themselves. And I hadn't heard that for so long. I didn't have that inspiration. And so I need that. Besides accountability from my sponsor, I need that inspiration. And so thank you, everyone, for your honesty and your shares, and for this reading today. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty B. Maria, it's your turn, followed by Robin P. And can we have the initial of your last name, please?
Yes, good morning. My name is Maria J., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, recovered by God's grace for today. This is my first time. I've been listening to Vision for quite a while. This is my first time sharing. The spiritual life is not a theory. Indeed, it's not. I was in religion all my life, but I was not spiritual in any way, and I didn't really know how to go there. So I just followed and did what my sponsor told me to do. She wanted me to read some daily devotionals in the morning, to talk or pray to my higher power, and to meditate or listen for his answer daily. And so I started to read my Bible every day, pray to God more, where in the past I only prayed when I needed something. So daily practice in the morning, I start my day praying, reading my Bible, and listening to what God would have me be or do. And definitely little by little, God started to change me, and my spiritual life did become I was living it. It was not a theory anymore, and it does. I love the illustration of when we change, it's a ripple effect to those around us. We cannot change others around us, but I've been married for 27 years, and many of those years were not good, but I was raised that God hates divorce, so I am in it, and I cannot change my husband. All I can do is change me. And our relationship has been improving since these 5 months I've been in program. And I am seeing big changes, but he's not changing. I'm the one that's changing, and it's the ripple effect. And I would have never believed that a program that I entered for my food problems and my weight problems could ever have such an effect on my marriage as well. So it is not a theory, and it is, we live it. We start small steps, do what your sponsor tells you to do, and it becomes a practice, not a theory, and it will definitely ripple to those around you and to not just your spouse, but to all around you. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Maria J. And Robin P., it's your turn. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Thanks so much for your service. Hi. I think someone's unmuted who has a dog barking. Just check. I'm Robin P., and I'm very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica and our new home. And, you know, I just love this. The spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. And it did cost more money for them to italicize things in those days. And, you know, I get to practice it every day. You know, my spiritual practice, I get to live in the steps. I get to do my 10th step and 11 and 12 and my third step, all three. First, I wake up every morning on my knees and do steps 1 through 3. And, you know, and when something comes up, I have a solution today. I have the 10th step and the 11th step. And, you know, I keep remembering that, you know, there's God's business, my business, and none of my business. And most things fall into the none of my business category. And I always codependently used to think, oh, I've got to put out, you know, what I think is right here and help them and save them. And you know, there is a God, and I am one piece of God, but I am not in charge. And I'm powerless over other people, places, and things. And my life has become unmanageable. And came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity with those people, places, and things. And made a decision to turn my life, those people, places, and things over to the care of God as I understood God. And it just changes everything when I remember that, to stay in my lane. And it's attraction, not promotion. It just says this is so divinely inspired. And I have everything I need right in this book and right in the people and with my higher power. And we moved to Costa Rica 2.5 months ago, and every day is a blessing. And every day is I get to choose peace. And when I'm not in peace, it's just in my head. It's like, you know, I've heard Dr. Paul, who he wrote Acceptance in the Big Book, and he said he did the 12 steps on thinking. And, you know, qualifying for AA with the word thinking instead of drinking. And it really does apply. So I get to surrender my thoughts to God. God bless everybody with a very blessed, abstinent day and weekend. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin P. So just a reminder for those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later, we are continuing our study of the chapter Into Action. On page 83, the second paragraph, the spiritual life is not a theory. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared yesterday or the day before, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Tony B.
Kathleen.
There was a lady before Tony, and I missed that name, please.
Tony B.
Yes, I heard you, Tony. Thank you. There was somebody before you.
Okay.
Let me tell you who I do have. That's probably easier. I have Tony B, and I have Kathleen. Who else would like to share?
Georgie.
Joan R.
Sue Ann T.
Lynn. Anyone else? D? Was that Lynn D?
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, let's go with that lineup, please. We have Tony B, Kathleen, George E., Joan R., Sue Ann T., and Lynn D. Good morning, Tony.
Hello, everybody. My name is Tony, and I'm a compulsive operator from the Republic of Ireland. Thanks, everybody, for their service and the reading. And just to the day today, it's a food issue. You know what I mean? It's a food kind of issue that I weigh and measure my food there. And sometimes I make mistakes and I put a little bit more oil into the food than I wanted to put in there, but I took some out. You know what I mean? But that kind of stuff really kind of... My disease sits up and takes notice, you know what I mean? And I suppose as my recovery goes on, I'm more and more informed that this disease is very cunning and baffling and very powerful, you know? So, other than that, things are okay. I've gone through the steps. And I don't say that I've finished the steps, but I've gone through the steps with a sponsor. And there's a lot of good after coming out of it. There's a lot of good after coming out of the relapse that I had. You know what I mean? I don't think I'd be on this meeting if I hadn't relapsed. And I don't think that I would have had the sponsor that I have and the contacts and the recovery if it hadn't been for a relapse. Oh, it doesn't have to be that long, you know what I mean, before somebody starts walking the steps. I was given 48 hours to be off my triggers and my binge foods. And one of the things that I'm afraid of is that I won't be able to carry the message, walk step 12, or that I will flight on the 10th step and the 11th step. But, you know, pray to God, but continue to row ashore. So I pass it that and I leave somebody else here now. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony B. Kathleen, it's your turn, followed by George E. And can we have the initial of your last name, please, Kathleen?
Kathleen O, recovered in California. Good morning. So our behavior will convince them more than our words. You know, to say I'm sorry over and over for the same behavior would make a skeptic of anyone and probably make them roll their eyes. I had to change my behavior, and that included telling people what to do. You know, everyone's on their own journey. Everyone has their own path. Everyone has free will. And I loved what Robin P. said. It's like, you know, it's none of my business. Most things fall into it's none of my business category. So living a spiritual life, and we are told we have to live it. And that is going to lead to a change in behavior. It was important that, you know, I stop creating harms. And moving forward in the spiritual life, that I changed how I treat people. So the goal in making amends in relationships isn't about begging for forgiveness. It's about making right any wrongs and not doing the same behavior again, you know, not repeating those behaviors. And people will see in our living amends the change in that behavior. You know, if I'm living a spiritual life, people are going to see more kindness, more love, more tolerance and patience from me. And then they begin to trust me. So, you know, my relationships are much healthier today, and living a spiritual life, letting go of fear, making amends, asking daily for patience, kindness, tolerance, and love. I don't want to block myself from the sunlight of the spirit, as Bill W. said. You know, I don't want to pick up again. I want, you know, I really have to live a spiritual life. Because that power is going to solve all my problems and it's going to help me from creating new ones. So, you know, to stay recovered, we need to do the action. Staying spiritually connected, asking for the next right thing, the next right action. You know, how can I be useful? How can I be helpful? Am I going to show up and be available to others? And, you know, not talk the talk, but walk the walk. And thank you, I pass.
Thank you, Kathleen O. And George E., it's your turn, followed by Joan R. Good morning, George.
Yeah, George E., recovering compulsive eater in Ohio. Yeah, I mean, everybody loves this paragraph, you know, because God wants us, our heads in the clouds with him, but our feet on the ground. And I'm thinking about the word live. I've got this t-shirt, right? And it's really ugly. I don't know why I wear it, but it's got live on it. And dozens of people have come up to me and said, well, is that a band? And apparently it is. But so, you know, this paragraph is a little mystifying in the sense that it says they will change in time. It doesn't say how they're going to change. It just says they're going to change. Well, that's like saying, you know, we're going to get old. I mean, you know, there's no fighting it, right? So spiritual principles. I look at too much minutia, but I was surprised you didn't capitalize the S in spiritual, but what do I know? You know, God is principles, and discovering those principles is really all the work I can do. You know, my family, I don't know, I guess I've led with a chin so many times, it's amazing I still have a chin, right? People in the 12-step work tell me I'm getting better, which is gratifying. I mean, affirmation is one of those aspects of love that's hard to give, and we all want to receive it, right? So I should have started timing myself, but I know I'm sort of rambling, so I think I'll pass. And everybody have a great holiday weekend, and God bless everybody on the call.
Thank you, Georgie. Joan R., it's your turn, followed by Sue Ann T. Welcome, Joan.
Thank you so much. This is Joan R. from Oregon, a recovered compulsive eater, and just so grateful for all these shares. I've been taking notes, and oh, it's also wonderful. This is a beautiful paragraph, and I think that one of the most important ones to me was that, you know, there's God's business, my business, and none of my business. And really to embrace that, the spiritual life for me is definitely having this relationship with God, who is everything, and God who will do for me what I cannot do for myself, and the God who unconditionally loves me, and as I keep on keeping on to grow in that spirituality and really being able to overcome this defect that I have of criticism into becoming unconditionally loving to myself first, and then to everyone that I get the privilege to be with, especially my family. And that's enough. And thank you all. And I will pass.
Thank you, Joan R. Suan T., it's your turn, followed by Lynn D. Please go ahead, Suan.
Thank you. My name is Suan T. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Fresno, California. So as this first sentence was read, the spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. It made me think of, you know, how the book says we have that mental blank spot. I feel I have a spiritual blank spot as well. I forget, number one, that part of my spiritual life, God wants me in recovery. And I know that. Well, I know that I know that I know. And I forget that. Because that mental blank spot coupled with the spiritual blank spot will tell me that I don't need, you know, maybe not need to go to the meeting today or make that outreach call or whatever. And if I don't do those things, I'm not spiritually fit. So how could I demonstrate those spiritual principles as described in this book? I can't. And what I'm finding now, is with my husband. I've done so much damage. I've been in and out of recovery, relapse, come back. And by the grace of God, that won't continue. The vision for you is just, I feel, you know, like it's God's will for me to be here. And that I can demonstrate, convince him that rather than tell him that I'm in a good place. He's seen it so many times over and over, come back and I'm really, you know, high and doing really well because I'm doing what this book suggests. We have to live it. And so I'm just so grateful to be here and for you to be here. And I just thank you all for being here. And I could see why he's skeptic. I mean, when I talk to him today, I mean, now, since I've been back in this program, it's like every day I could hear it in his voice. He asked me, how you doing today? Are you doing okay? Are you still doing good? You know, so I could tell what I've done to him. And so I'm just grateful that I'm back. I'm sorry, I'm repeating myself, but thank you.
Thank you, Suanne T. And Lynn D., it's your turn. Please go ahead, Lynn.
Thank you so much. I'm Lynn D. from San Diego, California, recovered compulsive overeater. And yeah, I appreciate everybody's shares and service today. Thank you all. I was really struck by the action part that some people were relating to. So for me, when I first came in program, I came in when I was 19, now I'm 40. So when I first came in, I couldn't understand. I would get like 2 years and then just totally fall apart. Get 2 years, you know, 2 or 3 years fall apart. And I had that pattern and, you know, I had significant weight loss and significant weight gain. And I can see it now that it was just totally run on self-will, run riot, right? Like just no spiritual being basis. I totally thought I could do it myself. I was convinced. But it wasn't until I was working through the steps with my sponsor and I found that higher power. It took me a long time to find my higher power. And thank goodness for those early days and all of those, you know, people that just kind of just said those, like, you know, keep coming back and, you know, take what you want, leave the rest. Because, you know, that was really important for me to keep coming back. And so I never really left. I think that was the first key. But really, you know, taking the time to find my higher power. And when I found it, I felt that, okay, I found it. I don't want to lose it. And so the action steps of like connecting to it, right? And so then I joined a step study where we practice connecting to our higher power through something called charting, and that was really good. And so I can actually change and be uncomfortable and feel the pinch and grow, right? Like that's how I know I'm changing. Like I started a new charting, and so I'm really uncomfortable and of making some outreach calls. And but it's changing, right? Like it's changing my spiritual basis, right? Like I can do hard things and I'm not alone in all those using the tools and stuff. So I really like the action part. For me, it's like repetition and sticking to that habit or, you know, changing that behavior. I have to practice it. I have to practice it over and over again. I forget. I forget from one day to the next what I'm supposed to be doing. So I try to stay grounded in a little bit of routine with a lot of flexibility. So with that, I will pass. Thank you, everybody. Happy Friday.
Thank you, Lindy. We have time for 3 more shares. Who would like that time?
Nadia B.
Barbara C.S.
Wendy M.
Great. Okay, let's try that. We have Nadia B., Barbara C.S., and Wendy M. Good morning, Nadia.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you so very much for your service and everybody else who showed up at the meeting today. My name is Nadia B., gratefully recovered, compulsive overeater in Connecticut. And what stood out to me today in this reading is that spiritual life is not a theory, is, you know, that me being sober doesn't make me spiritual giant, spiritual teacher, or, you know, teacher of any, it doesn't give me a teaching license for anybody. And, you know, the only thing that I get to do here is to practice this spiritual life. And, you know, it doesn't mean that I don't feel pain today, that I don't struggle, that I don't see the, you know, mistakes, I don't make mistakes. It just only tells me that I have to practice what I've learned. And what have I learned? I've learned through steps 1 through 9 that I make mistakes. I'm so human. You know, brings me that state of humility. I'm not better or worse than anybody else. You know, I have my struggles like everybody else. And when I make mistakes, you know, because I am human, and I will make mistakes, I can go through that practice of, you know, changing my behavior and being, you know, making amends in behavior and admitting my mistakes. And then I can also use 11 and 12 to grow. You know, this is my spiritual gym, and I don't have to drag my family into it, my friends into it. I'm just so grateful that I have you guys to practice it all, every day, you know, all day if I need to, because life is, you know, not a walk in the park sometimes, and sometimes it is. And, you know, I'm just immensely grateful to have a fellowship to come to when I go through hard times, and also to celebrate my milestones. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nadia B. Barbara C.S., it's your turn, followed by Wendy M. Hello, Barbara. Press star 1 to unmute, Barbara.
Okay, I'm back. Barbara.
All right.
I'm Barbara C.S. from Western Colorado, and this is my first time to share on Vision for You. And when I think of my spiritual life, I have had spiritual life relapses throughout the many, many years that I've been in OA. And it is always God that brings me back. I'm coming out of a relapse of about a couple of months, and I began working with a sponsor and finding a vision and working with a sponsor and receiving a lot of support from other members, and I'm just so grateful to be here. And what I find often is that fear keeps me away from my spiritual life. But when I'm not in the fear, I know that God is with me and that I don't need to be afraid. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Barbara C.S. And Wendy M., it's your turn. Please go ahead, Wendy.
Yes, good morning. This is Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado, recovering in this program. And I love the idea, well, I'll just say I'm a word girl, and I've been telling people things my whole life. And they're like, just looking at me going, I don't believe you. You know, you're full of words, you know, and I was always like, if I just say it enough times, they'll think differently of me. And I'll never have to actually change. But I think it's on acceptance, where it's like people are going to be way more interested in in what I do, not what I say. And by being a word person, I'm just full of BS, quite frankly, because it's still my way. It's still like I'm orchestrating things with a whole bunch of words. Obviously, the word I'm sorry comes up a lot. And so what I want to say, so I just love this. I love that it says that. I love that it calls me on my words and says, this has nothing to do with words. This has everything to do with action. How are you different? How are your actions different? How are my actions different? And when I take an action, I get closer to God. I'll just say, like last night, I'm like telling my new OA sponsor, no, I really care about this. I really want to change. And then I'm about to watch Downton Abbey all night. And then instead of doing that, I turned off everything and I took direction. Like the direction was, you know, read food first and, you know, write down your foods and all of this kind of thing. And I did. And it felt amazing. It felt amazing to be a person that I can look in the eye and say, yes, you took an action. You got closer to God because you didn't turn on that TV show that you're addicted to. You completely went right for God. And I listened to a podcast and, you know, and it's that simple. And then today, will I pick up the phone and call you guys? You bet yes. Because every time I take an action, I get closer to God. And it's less of me and more of God every time. And it's a practice. It's just do it anyways. You know, how willing are you? Like my words are, yes, I really want to change. But the question is, what are my actions? What are you guys seeing me do? And that's really it. And then I'm on step 8 and 9 in another program, and it's all about living amends. You know, it's not about, gee, I'm so sorry I did that. It's all about changing me from the inside out, and God is changing me from the inside out. I'm going to Los Angeles today to see my, I think she's 84, 84-year-old mother, and I want to go. I can't wait to embrace her. Oh, my God. God is changing me from the inside out because I'm willing to take action. This is not a thinking program, obviously. Everybody on the line knows that. It's not a BS program because I'm full of BS. But no longer, you know, when I'm full of BS, I get no results. Thank you so much for letting me share, and thank you for your service today.
Thank you, Wendy M. Thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you, Team Friday. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Penny L.C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you for your service. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.